Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're also on Parashat Be'alotecha. Batachba le'ba'ala de'shalal lo yachsar. We've been discussing the great beracha, the great blessing that is promised by Shlomo HaMelech of shalal lo yachsar, that the victories of life will be constant, lo yahsar, will not be missing all the victories that will bring the spoils of the war, all the enjoyment of the victories. Shalal lo yahsar. It comes to bat ahba le bala. We've been learning how a relationship, especially of a wife and husband, that feels secure from the other. And we've been discussing the different ways that a person is able to feel secure. You know, it's easy to feel, to say, okay, if you feel secure, what does it mean to feel secure? What does a person have to do to make the other one feel secure? Batahba le bala, a person who feels secure in the relationship is a person who is blessed, is a person who is going to have shalal, the victories of life through the milhamot of life that are never ending. Life's battles do not end. Life's battles are a part of what life is. And the key is to be a winner. And that goes to people who have such a relationship. Today we're going to bring another aspect of what a person can do, a husband, a wife. We are talking about the Eshet Chayil. So obviously we're focused on the woman, but at the end of the day, it applies to a man just as much in his way, in his flavor. How does a woman get her husband to feel secure, to have security? Batahba le bala. Listen to this pasuk in Tehillim. It may hurt the ears of some people, but David HaMelech is a reliable source. Shim'ibat, he's talking to a young lady, and he tells her, Shim'i, listen. Uri, and look, vehati oznech, and tilt your ear. So all different words that describe full listening. I guess a person could listen and not really hear. He could hear and not listen. I guess he could do both and still not get it. So if he repeats three times the message of listen in three ways, it means I'm about to tell you something that is so essential. Don't miss it. Shim'i bat ur'i ve'ati oznech. Ve'shichhi amech u'bet avich. This is what we already discussed. That in order for a marriage, a relationship to be powerful, in order for the glue of the two to come together, there cannot be anything in between, including parents. He says, Shichhi, forget Bet Avich, forget your family. Again, strong words, but we already saw the Torah itself says these words. Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv ve'et imo. A person has to, so to speak, leave his father and mother without any kind of disrespect, God forbid. But it means that mentally, it means that she has to start to see a different kind of life. And the first thing is she has to be forgetting or willing to forget. You don't have to forget everything, but you have to forget the things that are blocking the relationship. Shechi amech. Amech means the things that you've learned from your upbringing, wherever you were brought up, in the home, in the city. You had different customs, you had different
things that you got excited about, whatever it might be. You have to be willing to forget those things.
Ve'yit'av ha-melech yofyech.
He says, I'm going to give you the formula that your husband will be able to get excited about your beauty.
Ki hu Adonaich,
says David HaMelech, because he needs to be viewed as your master. Very strong words. You tell someone today that somebody's above them, it's already scary. A master is a very high level of being above someone.
Ki hu Adonaich.
You want that the king, you want that your husband should have the proper strength and the proper way towards you.
Hu Adonaich ve'hishtahavilo.
Whoa. More strong words. You should bow to him. We bow to, who's less than you bow to? We try to bow to Hashem. Hopefully we mean it when we bow to Hashem. Bowing to someone is very strong. Those are the words of David HaMelech.
Shim'i bat.
Listen good to what I'm telling you. Listen good. It seems that David was worried that when someone would hear this, he would dismiss it as some allegory or some drama. He said, listen good. I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I thought it through. And it's literal as it sounds. You want to make it big in this relationship? That's what you need. It's a very big adjustment for a kala who grew up in a certain atmosphere of her home. Her parents had certain values. So many things change when she goes under that chuppah. The chuppah is not just a change in status of single to married. It's a change of an outlook of life. It's changing to a new administration. You know, when they have a new president, so the White House changes all the people, or at least a lot of them, because now they have to fit with the new president. The old people, not all of them are a good fit, so they have to dismiss a lot of people. A kala that goes into her chuppah is a new administration. It's a whole new way of looking at things. God forbid doesn't mean she throws out her past. But it means she has to make adjustments, and sometimes many adjustments. It's a very tall order. And I'd like to reiterate, and I'm going to get into it a little after, that a man also has to adjust. The husband also has got to do this. In fact, the Torah, when it speaks to separating from a father and mother, it talks to the husband, not to the wife. Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv ve'et imo. This is a two-way street. Both sides have to realize. And this is a new administration, a new beginning. There is a very powerful midrash that I hope that I could bring out the clarity and the message of this midrash. It's a midrash that people have heard before, but probably didn't hear all of it. And even if they did, I'm not sure if we fully understand the message. Right in the beginning of creation, there is a pasuk discussing the creation of the luminaries, the sun and the moon, and the stars. Let me read the pasuk to you. Vayas Elohim et shene hameorot hagedolim. Hashem made the two large luminaries. Continues the pasuk and says, et hamaor hagadol, the large luminary lemem shelet hayom. That's for the daytime. Veta maor hakaton, and the small luminary lemem shelet halayla. That's for the nighttime. So the obvious question everyone already probably is asking, you started introducing the luminaries as the two large ones. And then by describing them, which is the subject of this pasuk, you started describing the two as the large one and the small one. How does that make sense? And then the pasuk ends and says, Ve'et ha-kochavim, and the stars. But that doesn't really fit in this pasuk. Because this pasuk started by saying, Hashem made the two large luminaries. And then went on to explain what these two luminaries are. And then it says, Ve'et ha-kochavim, and the stars. Seems to be out of place. It should say a new pasuk or a new subject. And Hashem created the stars. The ve'et doesn't fit. Ve'et means as if we were talking about something that's relevant to the stars, which we weren't. We were discussing the luminaries. Or when did the stars get mixed in? So this is the reason why, like this and many, many other times, we need the Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's no way to understand this pasuk without the Torah Sheba'al Peh, without the oral Torah. Comes the Midrash and says that there's a bigger story here. A story of a creation of two large luminaries called the sun and the moon. The Midrash says that when Hashem originally made these two luminaries, they were both gadol. Just imagine the moon being the size of the sun. Huge. With its own light. Tremendous in size. Says the Midrash, that came the moon and said to the Creator, Efshar l'shne melachim she'ishtameshu b'keter echad. He says, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, is it possible that two kings can share one crown? Meaning, you have two large luminaries that are in charge of providing light and energy and whatever into the world. Each one is like a melech. They have a big job to do. A melech has a big job to do. He has to support his people. He has to give them sustenance. He has to give them strength. He has to give them whatever a melech is supposed to do. A melech is not meant to be for him. A melech is meant to be serving the people. Malchut is for the people. Look at Hashem. Hashem melech. What does Hashem do in his malchut? Doesn't sit back and wait for people to bow to him. He's serving the world. So the sun is serving the world and the moon is serving the world. And it seems like they were basically doing the same job. So the moon says that doesn't work like that. A melech, you have one king. Two kings, they can have friction. They can clash. He's involved in A, the other one does B. It doesn't work. Obviously, there's more depth to this, but it's enough for us to understand. So Hashem says to the moon, Amar la, he says to the moon, O'il sheken, since this is so, you're right. He said good. Now, it's interesting. She said good, but yet Hashem made two large luminaries. So if she said good, why didn't Hashem know that to begin with? So obviously, Hashem was preparing the world for such a story, and more importantly, preparing us to hear such a story. It's more important. It's not about the moon or the sun. This was written so that we could learn something, like the Torah teaches something in every area of it. So Hashem says, you're right, I hear you. He said, good. Lechi umati et atzmech. Go and shrink yourself. Decrease your size. Decrease yourself.
She says, the Lebana says, Ribono shel Olam, al shedibarti lefanecha davar hagun.
He told me, I said good. So I said good, ani loka, so I get hurt. If I said good, why am I the one getting small? What happens? Anyway, Hashem, in this midrash, keeps trying to give us some sort of appeasement. He told her, no, in the time of Mashiach, I'm going to bring your light the same way like it was. She wasn't so happy with that. More different discussions, which would take a little more than we have in this class. Bottom line, nothing appeased the moon for belittling its ability to help the world. Again, I hope you understand, it's not a kavod issue. It's not an honor issue. The moon, by becoming smaller, is able to do less. Imagine a person is able to do so much chesed and mitzvot, and then they don't have the capability. So they feel that they lost the opportunity. The moon doesn't do as much for the planet as the sun. She blew it. So what was the, says the midrash ends. Kevan shera'a hakadosh baruch hu. Once Hashem saw, shelo nityasheva data, Hashem saw that nothing that would appease her. He gave her Mashiach, it didn't work. He gave her other things, it didn't work. Hirba tseva'a. Hashem told the moon, you know what? I'm going to give you an army around you. The sun is very large, but it's by itself. You're going to have an army around you. Sheneemar, says the Midrash, ve'et ha-kochavim. Which means that the stars, the billions and billions of stars, were all created to appease the moon, that it's not going to be alone. It's going to have always with it the stars that surround it.
No.
That's the end of the Midrash. A Jewish woman is compared to the moon. The husband is compared to the sun. There are certain areas that the husband shines like the sun, and that's his job. And his wife, her strength and her success in her leadership is to be like the moon. They're both leaders, but they come from a different place. This midrash is a perfect fit for a marriage. In a marriage, there are two leaders. There are two people that are guiding the home, guiding themselves and others. Well, it's not possible to have two people doing the same thing in leadership. It doesn't work. Says Borei Olam, I hear you. It's a good point. He tells the Kala, say, you have to be like the moon. You can't be the leader, at least not in the way the sun is. You got to do your own thing. You have to be like the moon. You have to lead from your angle. A woman who has capabilities to lead like a man and hears that, very disturbed. Anybody, any woman listening to this class would be maybe a little bit not feeling so good, feeling threatened. Say, listen, what happened? But my husband, he's not so smart. I know how usually wives pretty much that their husbands are not capable. They're not so smart. They're not so powerful. They're not There are a lot of issues. Who knows better than a wife about the weaknesses of a husband? She'd be listening to this class and she'd be probably saying, are you kidding me? You never met my husband. What son? Who can blame a woman for thinking that? And I would never on my own have the chutzpah to say this. But the Midrash is saying it. David HaMelech says it in his words. We got to listen really good. A woman has to listen really good to this. And guess what? The moon, like any woman, would never be appeased by this. By taking away her leadership that she knows that she's capable to do. Maybe more capable than her husband. You took away her ability to shine on her own. She has to be a reflection of the sun. You cut down her size. There's no way to appease your person. And any woman listening would say, impossible. And that's what happened. Until there was one thing that appeased the Levana. Ve'et ha-kochavim. Hashem says to this woman, I want to tell you, there's something great that's going to come out of your humility towards your husband. I know it's a huge sacrifice. And I know he may not deserve it. And I know you could do it maybe better than him. I got all that. But you should know that if you humble yourself to your husband, ve'et ha-kochavim, you will be surrounded by stars, referring to her children, but not just having children, but they should be children who are themselves like the sun and bigger. All the kochavim that were created were because of the Levana and her ability to shrink herself in front of the sun. In return, she got billions of suns. Maybe that's why in English the word sun and sun are the same. I don't know. Spelled differently. Ve'et ha-kochavim. Hashem says to the moon, look what's going to be coming your way. And with that, she was good. This is what David HaMelech is saying. In reality, there's a little more depth to this. Hashem was telling the Levana, or telling the great woman, when there are two leaders, that doesn't work. So probably you're thinking that becoming bigger is going to help you do more. But in reality, shrinking yourself will help you accomplish more. How she get the kochavim? The kochavim, she needs her husband. But the answer is that a woman leads in a much more powerful way, being humble. We think that leadership comes by being stronger. But Hashem told the moon, I hear you, you said good. You said great. You're right, you can't have two leaders. So you know what? Lower yourself. Lower myself. So we think that was a demotion. Hashem is telling you it's not a demotion. Because through lowering yourself, the most important part of your production, the kochavim, are going to come out in a much grander way. Through your leadership, by being humble, you will be able to achieve so much more. Not always is the muscle what brings a great leader. In fact, it has very little to do with muscle. Specifically, leadership is viewed as someone who's powerful, who's rich, who knows how to talk strong, who knows how to put people in their place, who knows how to yell and scream, who knows how to... No. It's not leadership. Leadership comes from humility. The lower you make yourself to others, the more powerful you will be and the more you will produce. This was not a demotion to Lebana. She would never have been able to get the Kochavim without making herself smaller. She would have led with might, but she wouldn't have produced. To produce something great in life, especially children and students, it doesn't come from the sun, it comes from the moon. Is there a greater example? Do we have to go further than the greatest leader of the Jewish people? The first leader, the greatest leader, the greatest teacher. He was our king, he was our rabbi, he was everything. Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody ever, lokam, there will never be someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet in this week's parasha, we hear from the Torah the unimaginable. It's only imaginable because you're used to hearing it. But it's unimaginable that someone of such magnitude, someone who stood up to Korach and stood up to all the different challenges, to Paro, he stood up to the Jewish people, the Egel, whatever was there, whatever was needed. Yet in this week's parasha, we see that Miriam and Aharon, they said certain comments about Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe comments that were negative. That's a whole different discussion in itself, what they meant and how it came out. And they had complaints. And the Torah doesn't say anything about Moshe Rabbeinu replying to these complaints. They compared themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, "Harak ach be Moshe diber Hashem." Only Hashem spoke to Moshe. Hello, Gambanu diber. We also got Hashem talking to us. So they were upset that why Moshe was acting as if he was higher by not being with his wife. We also, Hashem speaks to us. What's the problem? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? What does a great leader do when the two most powerful people under him, next to him, his family, they speak of him in not such a great way? What does he say? What does he reply? Comes the Torah and says, he doesn't say anything. It really should have been left empty. But here Hashem himself comes and says, Ve'ha'ish Moshe anav me'od. Says the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is a very big anav, very, very humble man. Mikol Adam, from the entire planet, that you'll never find someone who is like Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest leader we ever had. The greatest leader the world has ever seen is the most humble person the world has ever seen. That's not a contradiction. That is the rule. It's not two things that happen to coincide. It is the rule of successful leadership. Successful leadership specifically comes when you make yourself smaller. When you minimize yourself, you produce kochavim. The kochavim could be your students. The kochavim could be your community. The kochavim could be your children. Kochavim could be in your business. The great results of leadership comes from making yourself smaller. Hashem tells Levana, you spoke good. So lower yourself. You're right, you can't be like the sun. But you can be better. You can be stronger. The sun can't make kochavim. Look in the daytime, there's no kochavim around the sun. It's a beautiful light, it does a lot, but it's by itself. It helps nobody but itself. It takes care of the world, does its job, but doesn't produce. Doesn't make anything. The stars are exclusively for the Levana. Moshe Rabbeinu, till today, is enjoying his students. Till today, is kochavim. You know how many kochavim Moshe Rabbeinu has? Imagine Rabbi Akiva. It's a big kochav. Hillel, Azaken, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Yehoshua Binun, all the great Nevim. Till today, the kochavim are lighting around Moshe Rabbeinu. If he would have stood up to this, and he would have shown his muscle and power, he would have said, you know what you're talking to? You know what you're talking about? What would you do? What would a person do in that situation? You're the leader of your business, you're the leader of your home, you're the leader of your community, you're leader of your classroom, you're the leader of whatever you're doing. And someone comes and has a knock on you. What's your reaction? If Moshe Rabbeinu would have stood up and started to get into this the same way most people would, there'd be no Moshe Rabbeinu. The humility of Moshe Rabbeinu was not a coincidence. It was the cause. Ve'yaish Moshe anav me'od. That's what made him the great leader and the great teacher. Says Rashi, Anav, Shafel besavlan. Shafel means he didn't view himself as anything special. Moshe didn't view himself as anything special? Are you kidding? Wasn't he the one that went to speak to Paro representing the Jewish people? Did he forget that already? Wasn't he the one that fought with the angels to bring down the Torah? He forgot it? He's not special? How many people were chosen to go get the Torah? One, he's not special. He didn't know about that. What do you mean, Shafel? What do you mean he didn't think he was special? It means that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he was given such capabilities. He was given such talent. He was given tremendous opportunity to do something great, which made him feel perhaps even more that maybe he's not doing enough. Like it says by Yaakov Avinu, Katonti mikola hasadim umikola emet asher asita nadecha. Says Yaakov Avinu, I feel so small from all the good that you've done for me. They explain, what does it mean you feel small? It means that the more Hashem gives somebody, the more they are obligated, the more they have to do. If Hashem makes a Moshe Rabbeinu and he acts like an Aharon HaKohen, so he's a failure in life. What do you mean? You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. God gave you talent. He gave you money. He gave you capability. He gave you all kinds of abilities. You're not measured. We don't measure our success compared to each other. We measure our success compared to what we're capable of. And the more Hashem gives somebody, the more he feels, I'm a small person, I'm a katonti. Yaakov Avinu says, I did a lot of great things in my life, but after all the blessings you gave me, I feel so small, I feel I haven't done enough. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at all the zechut that he has. He spoke to God. You know what kind of responsibility that puts on him? A guy who speaks to God says, I feel so small. I should be doing so much more. I'm not doing enough compared to what I was given. In this world that we're in, when someone does something, they feel very elevated. But humble people, when they do something, they say, what is zechut, Hashem, what you gave me? I hope I'm doing enough. I probably not. How many people were in my position? So you put me in that position. Maybe I'm not doing enough. Or compared to the other people I am, but that's not how it works. Humble people, they don't compare themselves to others. They measure themselves with what God gave them. Moshe Rabbeinu was well aware of all that God gave him. That's why he was humble. Because he saw how much God blessed him with. And didn't think of himself more. Rather, he thought that maybe he's not doing enough to fulfill what God sent him to do in this world. Shafel de Savlan. Is there a greater description of Shafel than the words of the Ramban that we've said here a number of times, but Kedai, it's worthwhile to review it again because it's really halakha lemaaseh. It's a real halakha lemaaseh. This halakha lemaaseh applies probably more than any other halakha lemaaseh. Kimat every moment of life. Says the Igeret Ramban, Afaresh lecha, he's, let me explain to you. Ech titnaheg bemidat ha'anava, how you should be anav. The Ramban is telling his son, I know you heard about anava, and I know you probably have a dream of what anava is, but let me tell you exactly what you should do in the world of anava. Lalechet batamid. Kol devarecha yu benachat. He says, all your words should always be benachat. Don't raise your voice. You raise your voice, you pass the line. What are you raising your voice for? Who do you think you are? There's a creator to this world. He runs this world. There's a melech here. You raise your words in front of the king. When the king's around, everyone keeps quiet. If they have to whisper, they talk low. What are you raising your voice? What are you yelling for? Veroshcha kafuf. He says your head should be a little tilted down. Ve'einecha yabitu lemata la'aretz. Your eyes should be looking to the ground, ve'libecha lemala, but your heart should be looking up. Meaning, remember what's on top of you. Remember who's present here. You're in the presence of the creator of the world. Be careful. Strong words, he says. I don't know if this applies today. It applies in a certain way. Don't look straight in the eyes of the person when you're talking to him. It's sort of humility, looking at the guy like you're on top of the world. You could get, you have it, you just look at him straight. Don't look at yourself as above him. Here's the words. Bechol adam yegadol mimecha be'enecha. And every person in your eyes should be greater than you. Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked at Aharon and Miriam as greater than him. What? He didn't know that he was chosen to bring the Torah and they weren't? Of course he knew. But specifically because he was given that, he would say, maybe I'm not doing enough. I wasn't given Moshe and Aharon and Miriam's job. I was given more. I'm not doing enough. So they're greater than me. So many people today can say this. You know, a person grew up with Torah and mitzvot. He grew up with a family, Shomrei Shabbat. He went to yeshiva. He's doing all the beautiful things. Then he sees somebody who is not so beautiful. So what does he look at him? What does he say? He says, ah, loser. Guys, a zero. He looks at him
like he's from the bottom and I'm from the top. Says Ramban, be careful. Call Adam, every person. Yeh gadol mimcha be'enecha. The lowest guy in your eyes should be greater than you. How is he greater than me? The guy doesn't do mitzvot like I do, doesn't pray like I do, doesn't give charity like I do. What are you talking about? Imagine looking at every guy and say, he's greater. How is he greater?
So he says to you,
I'll say it in my own words. He said, because you grew up in a different community. You know how lucky you are? You had the home that you had the yeshiva that you had, you had the rabbis that you had the atmosphere. That guy didn't have nothing. He grew up with zero. According to what you were given and what he was given, who knows who's greater? Who knows where you would have been if you were given his pot? You should look at yourself and say, look what I was given. Am I doing enough? Even that guy does something. What am I doing? That guy took himself from a zero and made himself a two. Did I take what my parents gave me and my rabbis gave me? Did I raise it two notches? Because he got nothing and he became a two. Did you take an eight and become a 10? Oh, you didn't? Oh, so he's better than you. Things aren't measured by the value we see only in the expressive physical world. It's a journey. Like the Ramban says, "Hu shogeg ve'ata mezid." Maybe he's doing the wrong things, but he doesn't know better. You know better. You know how many halachot you know that you don't follow? You know how many books of Musar that you've been taught that you don't live by? You know how you're capable of learning, but you don't open a book? Or even if you open it just to be yotzeh, how is it the guy can't learn? Every person, says Ramban, every person you can make this formula with. Because greatness is measured with what God gave you. And usually if we look at what God gave us and what we're paying back, we'll see that we're very, very much below the line. We're not doing enough. And we got to push ourselves to do more. But certainly not to put yourself above others. Because if you feel like you're not doing enough in front of God, how would you have the chutzpah to go and put yourself above other people who are not doing their job? Neither are you doing your job. Neither have you fulfilled what you're supposed to be doing. So how could you have the audacity to put yourself above other people? Moshe Rabbeinu, Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od. Moshe Rabbeinu, he felt katonti, he felt like a small person in comparison to the great opportunities that he was given. Certainly he was the greatest Jew alive, and he knew that. But maybe he could have been greater. He was greater than them, but was he greater than himself according to what God gave him? In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu would look at people and see all the great things that they have that he may not have. That's the difference between arrogance and humility. Arrogance is making the guy small and comparing him to your greatness. You look at yourself and you say, well, I do this, I do that, I go here, I there. And I look to see where he is small in those things. He doesn't do what I do. When I look at people, automatically I look at him and I try to find the smallness and compare it to my bigness. A humble person, the opposite, looks for the things in other people that are so beautiful that maybe he's lacking. If you have good eyes, you'll see in every person things that you don't have, that you wish you have. Every person's got some beautiful things about them. And if you measured yourself to them in that area, you'd feel small and they'd look very big. That's what it means, minimize yourself. Minimize yourself means look how big the Creator is.
look how big people's accomplishments are that you're not as big in. And in that way, you'll feel anav, you'll feel shafel. You'll know your accomplishments and you could be proud of your accomplishments. But you still know there's more to go. That's what it means, Aish Moshe Anav. And that's great leadership in the home. I told you once, I asked a great rabbi, we asked 30 people, what's the secret of a great home, of raising great children? Like, give us all the formulas. We're waiting for a 2-hour discussion. He said, I'll tell it to you one word. It's called humility. Be humble in your home. Be humble with your wife. Be humble with your children. Don't raise your voice. Are you raising your voice above your child? Think you're better than him? Look at his age. Look at your age. Look how many mistakes you make that you know better. He doesn't know better. What are you yelling at him for? Yes, you got to give him rebuke. You got to put him in the right road. You might have to give some strong words, but don't yell. Yelling is arrogance. Yelling means I'm better than you. I'm powerful. I'm stronger. I'm more important. You're nobody. You're zero compared to me. Raising my voice above you means I am above you. That's what it means when you raise your voice. Anava, humility. In the home, if someone tells you you did something wrong, accept it. Ve'ish Moshe anav me'od. Even if what they're saying is wrong, keep quiet. You want to respond at a different time because it's important? So respond. You don't have to answer every comment. It's not a competition of who's greater in the home. Hafuch, the opposite. When you make yourself smaller, you're becoming greater. The more you yell, the more small you are. Anava, humility. With your havruta, you have a beautiful havruta relationship. Every area of leadership, every area of communication, of social interaction, humility is the key to success. Vela anavim yiten hen, says Shlomo HaMelech, those who practice humility, they are beloved, which means they can influence. People who are beloved have the ability to influence. They create kochavim. Sometimes they make kochavim bigger than themselves. The moon is all but a small percentage of the sun. Very small percentage. But the kochavim that it produces, each one of them, many of them are much bigger than the sun. Humility produces big stars. Such an unbelievable thing. It's a mistake that we make coming into this world by thinking that loudness and power and is going to lead us and the people that we care about into a better place. It's not. It's going backwards. Hamiti et atzmech, Hashem says to the moon, shrink yourself. And from there you will lead. Listen to these words of Shlomo HaMelech, but words. Ekev anava, at the heel of humility. Meaning you might listen to this and say, come on, it's too much. I'm going to make him feel more powerful. I'm going to make my children feel I'm a humble guy. They're going to run all over me. They're going to step on me. They're going to take advantage of me. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Ekev anava, at the heel of humility. Yirat Hashem, you're going to have fear of God. Asher, you're going to have wealth. The kavod and honor. The hayim and life. Is there anything that's missing here? What area of life could anyone want that's not in this four? Yirat Hashem, you'll be the most successful spiritually. Asher, you'll be the most successful physically, financially. Kavod, you'll have a lot of honor that can't be measured with money. The hayim. And you have good life. Anava is the secret to a good life, to a great home, to a great family, to great children, to great everything.
That's why the beginning of the Torah says, Na'aseh Adam. Na'aseh Adam. Hashem says, let us make men. Azal tell us, let us make men. That's very deceiving. Could be misinterpreted. One of the most important parts of a Jew in this world is Hashem Echad. There's only one God, one creator. What do you mean, let us make men? Who are these us? Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, Af al pi shelo siyeuhu ha-malachim. Even though the angels did not help God make the world. Ve'yesh makom le'apikorsim lirdot. And now by reading this line, it gives place for the apikorsim, the heretics, the non-believers. What a pasuk for them. This is like tremendous find for their mindset. Na'aseh Adam, even God himself says, let us make men. Listen to this Rashi. So why would God write such words in the Torah that could mislead people and help them in their wrong path? How? Why would he do that for? Says Rashi, the second part of Rashi is more powerful than the first one. The first one was a powerful question. But listen to this answer. Says Rashi, Derech Eretz Umidat Anava. Hashem was behaving with the midah of humility. Sheyehe HaGadol, that the great one should be Nimlach, should ask advice. Venotel Reshut Minakatan, should ask permission of someone below him. Hashem went to the angel and said, what do you think? Should I make the world? Na'aseh Adam? Should we make man? You think Hashem needs the advice of the people he created or the angels that he made? So what is he saying that for? And he wrote it in the Torah. Why? So that we should learn anava, that you're a gadol. Oh, make sure you bend a little bit and ask advice of someone under you. That's called humility. Ah, what about all the people that will make mistakes and think there's more than one God? What about all those? How did we address those people? So the answer is very simple, that it's worth the risk. Anava is so big, humility is so big, that it's worth the risk if the guy wants to go off the derech, and this helps him. It's an unfortunate situation. But what's the flip side? That people don't know the humility of the Creator. They think God just stepped up and created by himself without asking someone below him. That would be the flip side. That side is more dangerous. To live a world where you think leadership starts at the top and ends at the top is more dangerous than the other side. At the end of the day, the other side, if they open their eyes, they'll see the truth. They'll understand there's one creator to this world. But to have a world that thinks that the creator is on top and doesn't have humility, that's a very dangerous message. This is humility in the home is the key. We spoke today about the Eshet Chayil, but the man is no different. He also has to have humility. Maybe a different kind of humility than his wife. Different kind of relationship. But humility nonetheless. The more humble a husband and wife are to each other, the greater their relationship. What a marriage when they're both humble to each other. When they both look at each other and see the greatness. When they see how big the other one is. And how small they might be compared to that size. Each one saw how big the other one is, and therefore minimize themselves. How great is that relationship? How awesome is the atmosphere in the home? How awesome are the children that see parents who are anav,
A father who talks to his children with humility. Words like please. Like I was thinking, what do you think? I'm so proud of you. I know you worked so hard to do this, but my thinking is that it might not. Oh, wow. As opposed to, out, oh, wrong, out, can't do it. I'm not talking to you anymore. Hello, who are you? That's called arrogance. We've all done it. It's embarrassing, but we've all done it. It's not really very beautiful to talk to people with loud voices, with threats, with the I. Humility. Even with a little two-year-old, you can be humble. How you talk to him, how you respect him. You could be forceful. You're a father. But humility. Hamiti et atzmich. Shrink yourself. And you become big. You may not be big like the sun is big to the moon, but you'll have so many more stars, which is really what makes the difference in life. That's real size in this world. It's not what you do, it's what you produce. The sun doesn't produce any more suns. No stars come from the sun, but the moon is producing. This is the secret of the Eshet Chayil. Like I said, both husband and wife need to be humble. But the Eshet Chayil knows in certain roles that she had to shrink herself so she could lead with power. I'll just share with you one story. A story about a woman who lived in this country. Her father was a very big rabbi, a Talmid Chacham. She grew up in a beautiful community. She got married to a wonderful man. Her father decided to open up a seminary or a school for girls, whatever it was. And he hired someone to run the school. And a few months or maybe 6 months or a year into the project, the person leading the school basically walked out. And now the rabbi is looking for someone to run the school. And he knows his daughter is super capable. So he tells his daughter, I have a situation. My principal walked out. I need a principal. The truth is, I can't imagine someone better than you. You could do it. I'd like to offer you the job. Of course, she's very honored by such a job offer. She could do it. She wants to do it. The zechut of so many young ladies to be giving them chinuch is special. She goes to talk to her husband at night about the exciting offer her father gave her. Her husband's not so excited about it. Why do you need it? Baruch Hashem, we have parnasa. We don't really need it. You have this, you have that. He wasn't so excited. She saw he's not so excited. But she really wants to do it. So after a few conversations, the husband told, listen, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you no. If you want to do it, you can do it. She hears those words, I'm not going to tell you no. She calls her father. So dad, I'm in.
I need you now.
She starts her job. She's doing great. She's loving it. Everything is beautiful. A few months into this job, she realizes her husband is not so happy. Not complaining, but he's not so happy, dude. But whatever reason. She's afraid to go ask a rabbi. They all know her father, they know her husband. It's maybe embarrassing. She hears Rav Shushan Pinkus, Alav HaShalom, great rabbi. Coming in from Eretz Yisrael. She's perfect. Someone from Eretz Yisrael doesn't know my father, doesn't know me, doesn't know my husband. I can ask him a question about my situation. Here I am doing the tremendous job, zechut, merit. I love it. I'm doing well. I'm kibud avayim. But my husband not telling me no. But he's not so happy with it.
Because I hope you build a house cooler.
So she waits for the rabbi to come. He lands. She makes a time to sit with her. She sits with the rabbi. The rabbi says, after he hears the whole question, he says, tell me, when you go shopping to buy meat, what do you look for?
That is a city. That's a city.
That's a strange question. So she's thinking, like, this is a serious question. And the rabbi's like waiting for an answer. Yeah. She says, I look for, I don't know, a good piece of meat, a good cut. He says, okay, what else do you look for? She said, okay, this is getting a little weird. What I look for, a piece of meat. She's thinking, what does he want? But he's really waiting for the answer. She says, the price, a good price?
Yeah.
Okay. She says, what else do you look for? Now she's out of answers. Says, what is she looking for? So the rabbi looks at her and says, don't you look for a store that's kosher?
Be gone.
She's stunned by this question. Look for a store that's kosher? That's part of the discussion here? Is that a question? To look for a store that's kosher? You have to ask me if I'm looking for a store that's kosher? That's obvious. Of course I'm looking for a store that's kosher. The great rabbi tells her, Hazal tells her these words of Hazal. He says, Isha keshera, a kosher woman, osa retzon ba'ala. She does the ratzon, the will of her husband. So he says, how come they called her Isha keshera? Why did they call her a kosher woman? Call her Isha hasida, Isha tzadeket. What's Isha keshera? What does that mean? She's kosher. So he says to her, because if she's not doing her husband's ratzon, she's in the wrong store. Forget what kind of meat, forget the price. You're in the wrong store. There's nothing to talk about. You're in the wrong store. It's already not kosher. What kind of meat do you buy from a non-kosher store? You don't buy anything from non-kosher stores. They're not relevant. Isha keshera osa retzon bala. What an unbelievable piece of information. What makes a great home is an Isha keshera that knows that this is not what my husband wants, not good for him. It's not good for me, therefore. It's not good for our home, therefore. Not kosher. Of course, there are many situations, and there are many questions, and there are many. We don't profess to have all the answers to every question in this class. We're just giving basic principles. Every person listening can have their own twist of their own situation, their own story, and it needs a great rabbi to come and help. Yes, but it's a question. It's not just a, what does it matter? Matters. Everything matters. And the most that matters is a great home that comes out of all the right decisions. Everything matters. Batahba lev ba'ala. A husband who has this security that his wife is kosher. She sometimes shrinks herself to fit with his ratzon, even though it may not be so comfortable. V'shala lo yehsar. Big beracha in the home. Humility in general is a big beracha. In relationships, a big beracha in the home, a big beracha in every area of influence, in any relationship. Humility is the key to greatness. It is not a coincidence that the greatest leader
and the greatest man that ever lived, was also the most humble. Shrinking a person makes them produce tremendous amount of stars around them wherever they go. Have a good day.